The unsurpassed, penetrating and perfect truth is seldom met with, even in 100,000 myriad kalpas. Now we can see and hear it. We can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with myself. Homage to the Buddha. Homage to the Dharma. Homage to the Sangha. So today I'm going to talk about the transformative power of gratitude. Sounds like a bit of a mouthful, but I don't know how else to put it, actually. We just had this lovely memorial for Reverend Master G.U. Ideally, we do it once a month, but we just do it now and then, actually. But it's always an opportunity to express gratitude for everything she gave us. She was our founder. She built this temple, not with her own hands, but with our hands. Not my hands even, but anyway. It was because of her that we had this temple here, this hall, and this order, and all of us here now. So we have this deep gratitude because of what she gave us, especially her gift of the Dharma. Thinking about gratitude, the other day one of our senior monks said something deeply wise that I really liked. So I was talking about food preferences, food intolerances, food everything. And this wise and venerable one said, gratitude transforms it into something that, what nourishes us, something like that. No matter what it is, gratitude transforms it. And I thought, how gratitude transforms everything, actually, thinking about this the last few days. Everything is transformed through gratitude when we think about it. Whether we welcome these things or not so much, gratitude still transforms them. So thinking of food is a good place to start because everybody eats and we all have our preferences and our opinions and our, you know, our gratitude and our likes and dislikes about food, a rich and fertile ground for training. All the food we eat is given to us. Here in the monastery, it's very obvious because we live on donations. People bring us food, people give us money to buy food, and everything we eat clearly has been given to us. And we recite the donor's verse each time we have a meal, whether privately to ourselves or all together. The two kinds of alms, material and spiritual, i.e. food plus the teaching, have the endowment of boundless merit. Now that they have been fulfilled in this act of charity, giving to us, both self and others gain pleasure therefrom. We eat it, others give it, and the merit goes to all beings. And then we recite the five thoughts, which I'll come to presently. Now, in fact, everybody has their food given to them. Whoever we are, our food is given to us. If we've bought it, somebody's grown it, somebody's picked it, somebody's transported it, somebody's sold it to us. We can't eat money, but we can eat the food that we give money so that we may receive food and be nourished. There's gratitude there, if we think about it, because there's so much goes into what we eat. Even if we've grown our own food, you know, this little seed has grown, the plant has given us something, the soil and the water and, you know, rain and sun and all that has given us this food, and it's actually been given to us. None of it is actually ours to take for granted. Gratitude transforms whatever we eat into something that truly nourishes us. If we just wolf our food down because we're busy, without, you know, wolf our food down, eat a sandwich without thinking and then rush off to do something, we're on the phone or in the middle of a meeting or we have to get somewhere or we're thinking about something else. If we just gulp our food down without thinking, It doesn't nourish us in quite the same way. It sustains us in a way, but there's something missing. There's a lovely little bit in Solzhenitsyn's short story, A Day in the Life of Ivan Denisovich, who you may have read. And there's a little bit in this, it's about the gulag. There they are, out in the gulag. And Ivan Denisovich is one of the prisoners there. And they all get their food, a little bowl of gruel or something, not much, you know. And he eats it with attentiveness and gratitude, and it nourishes him. And he sees one of the other prisoners, who's something of an intellectual, thinking about something else, thinking about politics, wolfs his food down without thinking. And Ivan says, it won't nourish him. He's not paying attention to it. It won't sustain him in the same way. And I never forgot that. It's deeply wise. If you take what you have and just use it to sustain you and nourish you, it helps you in ways that it doesn't if you're not paying attention. And actually, it's like this about with lots of things. If we complain about our food, it's not what I want, it's not cooked the way I like it, it's not what I really like, then we don't derive nourishment in the same way. But if we accept it with gratitude, whatever it may be, it can sustain us and nourish our training. It really, there's something that comes with it, a kind of, the life of it comes with it. We're not just cutting it off out of inattentiveness, ingratitude, I'd rather have something else, you know. Regardless of the quality, the quantity, this is so. Paying attention. The five thoughts we recite at mealtimes. We must think deeply of the ways and means by which this food has come, or the work that has gone into it, or the people who've helped to give it to us. We must consider our merit when accepting it. We may not feel we are worth feeding, but we have to eat anyway. But to consider, am I doing my training? Am I actually using this food well? You know, we must protect ourselves from error by excluding greed from our minds. Not just eating what, you know, what we'd like greedily, but what's actually good for me to eat? Should I really eat that piece of cake? Maybe. Or maybe we're better to have something else. Not in a way of, I like this, I don't like that, but what's good to do here? What's best? We will eat lest we become lean and die. That's really why we eat, not out of greed, but because we need to sustain our life so that we can practice, do what we need to do. We accept this food so that we may become enlightened. That's really our purpose, so that we may become enlightened. That's why we eat, and the food is transformed into something that helps us practice the Dharma. That's just a very brief thing, because I don't want to go on and on about food. But it's an expression of gratitude, of how to look at what we eat. It all reminds us of what we're doing. We're taking the life of something, whether it's a plant or a fruit or an animal or a fish. We don't like to eat animals and fishes. However, some people, you know, many people do, but whatever it may be, some people have to eat meat. Some people like to eat meat. But if we can be grateful for whatever it is that has given its life to us, whether it's a carrot or a beast, be grateful for that, because its life has gone to help our life of practice, of training. And if we train ourselves, then we can, in a way we're kind of giving back in gratitude. Not that we don't deserve food or we have to feel guilty about eating or anything like that. We need to eat, but to do our best with it. To sustain our life, we eat lest we become lean and die. We accept this food so that we may become enlightened. That's what we're trying to do, to help beings, ourselves and other beings. Now this is the ideal. We don't always pay attention. Sometimes we're distracted, you know, eating quickly to get somewhere else. We're just not paying attention. We're worrying about something. We're in a hurry and so on. We're not always sitting there completely mindful of, you know, every bite we eat. It would be nice, but often we don't. But we come back to it. And that's why we say the five thoughts at each meal, because it reminds us. We need constant reminding. We're not going to remember this forever and ever. Things happen, we're human beings, we're distractible, and we need to be constantly reminded, like with meditation. come back, oh, right, this is what I'm doing. Pay attention. Attentiveness is part of gratitude. You can't be grateful for something if you're not paying attention. You know. That's food. Relationships. Gratitude for our relationships. We tend to take the people around us for granted. Even the ones we dearly love, we can not always see them for the treasure that they are. The ones we dearly love, it's easy to forget and just, you know, they could be gone at any time. We don't want to be worried about this all the time. But just never to take people for granted. Never take our relationships for granted. The people we know, people we work with and so on. To actually appreciate them, to value our time with them, which is precious. To let people know we love them and we are grateful for our relationship. To nourish that relationship. Not to take it for granted, but to be grateful. You don't have to keep saying, oh, I love you, you're so wonderful, you're the whole meaning of my life. But to actually let them know, you know, we love them and we appreciate them and we're grateful for their presence in our life. People we work with. Sometimes they're easy to get along with, sometimes they're not, sometimes they're difficult. Or people we have other relationships with. Sometimes our family, not always easy. Sometimes there's somebody we find it really hard to get along with. How do we transform that relationship? Can we be grateful for this person? Instead of seeing their faults or the things that annoy us, can we see their good qualities, the hard work they might do, or, you know, something about them that we can value and be grateful for? Transform our relationship, seeing their good intention. Even if we think they don't work very hard, they're not doing a very good job, or they're kind of crabby and prickly and get angry, you know. How can we be grateful for somebody? Well, can we connect with them in some way? Can we just try to foster a good relationship? Maybe there's something in their life we know nothing about that is difficult. Maybe they've had a really difficult life and they don't know how to be uncrabby and unprickly. Can we connect with people? Maybe there's some common ground we can find and we can actually relate better. Give them the benefit of the doubt. To be grateful for what they do, grateful for their presence on this earth, even if we don't find them easy to get along with. Being present with people. Being here now with the person right in front of me, not somewhere else in my mind. You know, I'm ostensibly having a conversation with this person, but actually I'm thinking about something completely different. Or I sort of come back and think, huh, you know. It's not grateful to do that. It's not respectful. If you can, and everybody gets distracted now and then, but to try to be present with people, to give them that gift of our presence. There's gratitude in that. And they may be grateful that we do that, that we actually listen to a person wholeheartedly and not just kind of look like we're listening, you know. Not to take people for granted again, or see them as a nuisance. I'd rather be doing something else than talking to this person. But just to be here with this person now, to give them our time, to really listen to them. We can transform our interactions with others by that simple practice of attentiveness, which is an aspect of gratitude. Trying to see things from their point of view, appreciating them just as they are. Everybody is a little bit different. And if they're suddenly gone from our life, that person who really annoyed me, maybe I'll miss them. Maybe I'd really love to have them back, just the way they were, warts and all, you know. Each person is precious and irreplaceable. And we're all on our way out, you know. We come into life, we live, we change, we die. Everything's transient, all of us, coming and going. To appreciate the beings in our life while they're here with us, with gratitude, not with, oh God, this awful person, I'm so tired of them, you know. the cats I live with. This constant, like brother-sister thing, you know, meh, meh, meh. And yet, when one of them disappears for a little while, goes to the vet or something, the other one's looking for them, you know. Where is she? Where's she gone? You know. And then they're, oh, okay, now we go back to, you know. They like that. They're comfortable with that, and it's just like people. The critical mind. Gratitude helps us to undercut that critical mind that judges other people or circumstances. I want something else. I want this person to be some other way. I want this situation to be different. I don't like it. I want something else. I want people to be different. I want circumstances to be different. I want me to be different. It's another thing. And conversely, I want something else cuts off gratitude. If you say, I want something else, gratitude is shut off. And acceptance is shut off. And it's a suffering. I want something else is the recipe for suffering. I don't like this. I don't like the way things are. I want something else. Suffering. Because gratitude is a large part of acceptance. Acceptance is most of gratitude. You can't have gratitude without acceptance. Self-importance, gratitude, helps to diminish our self-importance. What I want is most important. My needs are most important. To be grateful for what we have. The sense of entitlement to what we want. I need this. I need to have things the way I want them. I need to be comfortable. I need to have it the way I like it. It helps to relinquish, it helps us to relinquish selfishness. If we can practice gratitude, our self-concern, our selfishness is much less in the ascendancy. We're actually not entitled to anything. We think we are. We think we're entitled to a comfortable life, you know, comparative safety. But actually, we're just fortunate. We have no more entitlement to a comfortable life and safety than any other person in this world. And we know many, many people do not have either of those things. And, you know, plenty of food, all these things that we kind of take for granted. Gratitude helps us to relinquish that entitlement, that sense of entitlement. Because actually all of it is a gift. Like the food we eat, as I said, is a gift. The air we breathe is a gift. That it's comparatively clean, we can still see through it, is a gift. Any of these things can be gone at any time. In our own lives, you know, sickness or misfortune, things can suddenly be gone. Comfort, physical comfort may be a thing of the past. How do we accept that? We can enjoy the good things of life. We don't have to feel bad about them. We can enjoy them, take the time to be grateful for them, to look at the mountain in the sun or the, you know, the sunset, feel the warmth of the sun on our back or the hear the sound of the rain and all these things and all the other things of life that we can enjoy with gratitude. Not taking them for granted. As we all know, when we've been ill, we don't take our health for granted. We think, oh, I feel better, thank God. And something we took for granted before, suddenly it's a great treasure because we've been feeling so awful. Now we've got over the flu or whatever it might be, it's okay, you know. Or we may be recovering from a serious illness. We're really grateful for something we took for granted previously. When we're facing some major loss or difficulty, that's when we really can feel the transformative power of gratitude. When we can face it and be grateful for what we still have. Sometimes it comes up naturally. We don't have to force ourselves to be grateful for a misfortune, but it can arise naturally. We have some great loss, but we're really grateful for what we still have. Somebody we love is sick. We're really grateful for their presence in our life now. We get sick. We're grateful for what we still have. Grateful maybe for the illness itself, because it helps us to focus on something more important than just living our little life mindlessly. We think, oh, wait a minute. It brings us up short, and we have to see what's really important in my life. If I die next week, what will I regret not having done? What will I be grateful for to have done? What kind of state of mind would I like to be in? Rather than just, you know, going about our daily life, which we mostly do. We can't spend all our time thinking like that. But now and then we're brought up short by a circumstance, or just by something sort of suddenly sinks. Whoa. You know, I better pay attention. Somebody dies, and when we get over the first grief, there can be gratitude for their life, which softens that grief and helps us to continue a deep gratitude for having had that person in our life, even though they may be gone now. Or we have, you know, things happen. And this means, of course, acceptance, that we accept the things that happen to us. And with acceptance comes gratitude. We can't be grateful for something until we've accepted it. Those prickly people in our lives, if we can accept them as they are, not try and bash the prickles off, but just accept them as they are with kindness, then we can feel gratitude for them and find that actually maybe there's a really nice person in there underneath all those prickles. To accept people as they are, then we can be grateful for them. Gratitude for our mistakes, the dumb things we've done. This can be hard, but it can be done. First, we have to look straight at them, accept them. I made this bad mistake. I did this thing. It was really dumb. I hurt somebody. I did something really unwise. I'm sorry. And then we can see what we can learn from that. You know, we learn by making mistakes. And maybe we can be grateful. Grateful for maybe people who helped us when we were nose down in the mud. Grateful for the mistake itself, because that's how you learn something. Not easy, but possible. Gratitude for our own shortcomings, our mistakes, our faults, because that's often what's brought us to Buddhist training, that we know we're not perfect, we make mistakes, we cause suffering for ourselves and other people, we want to change. I don't want to be this way. I want to change. And I can be actually grateful for that which has brought me here. Whatever it may be. Maybe a loss. Maybe a character flaw. Maybe some other thing. Some great thing in the past we've done or something. Suffering brings us to training. We can be grateful for it, because it gives us something that helps us with everything. If we can see our tendencies, like supposing we have a tendency to despair or anger or whatever, fear, which may have brought us to the practice. If we can see that arise in the mind, here it is, you know, perfect setup for jealousy or anger or whatever it is. Can I just sit with this and relinquish the clinging? Let it pass through. And then eventually we can actually be grateful for that opportunity to deal with it yet again. That little flavor of, I remember that, jealousy, right, anger, whatever. Yes, I recognize you. I will sit still with you and thank you, because I see that actually something is changing in my life. I can be grateful for the opportunity to sit with it once more. Because that's what cleanses it. Not that it goes away forever and the situation never arises, but that we learn to sit still with it and not let it drag us around anymore. Liberating gratitude. Transformation by gratitude. Not just seeing it as a negative thing, but actually something that helps us. The perfect opportunity to get upset. You let it go by. Thank you. Gratitude for the Dharma, the greatest gift that we have, the great transformer of our lives. And throughout the Dharma runs gratitude. You know, in all our ceremonies, most of them, there's an offering of gratitude. You know, we pray that we may show our gratitude to the four benefactors, the Buddha, the President, our parents, and all people. All of them. Gratitude for these people. You know, they've tried to do their best. Still trying to do their best. Gratitude to the Buddhas and ancestors. You know, gratitude to Reverend Master when he did our ceremony today, showing gratitude to her, as I said, for all she's given us. A wonderful thing that runs throughout our training. By doing our training, we're practicing gratitude. As Dogen says in the Shishogi, putting the teachings into practice and showing gratitude is the same thing. As we put the teachings into practice, as we work on our own mind and relinquish our clinging to our little self, and you know, we are practicing gratitude, grateful for the teaching, putting it into practice. That's how we show our real gratitude. Our gratitude for the Dharma, our gratitude to all beings, to all the things we have, as I've been saying, all the things we normally take for granted, the tools we use, the food we eat, the clothes we wear, the house we live in, all these things. We can be grateful for all of them. Paying attention. I'd really like to emphasize this because paying attention is a practice of gratitude. And it's vital to, it's a fundamental daily training that we do. Coming back to the present moment. What am I doing? You know, with this person right here, right now. With this meal I'm eating right now. With this thing I'm doing something with right now. To pay attention is to practice gratitude. Because we can't be grateful if we're not paying attention. But just being here with this, living my life as wholeheartedly and fully as I can, being here in this moment, that's what it is, just being here now, is to live wholly and to practice gratitude. Cultivating gratitude, putting the teachings into practice. Paying attention, coming back when we're distracted, coming back to what we're doing right now. Ah, okay, thank you. Accepting what comes our way, whether welcome or unwelcome, we allow room for gratitude to blossom. As I said, if we can't accept something, we can't be grateful for it. When we can accept it, then gratitude has room to grow and blossom. And surprisingly, it just shows up in the most unexpected places. A little crack in the pavement, there's a little gratitude blossom shows up. Sometimes we feel it, sometimes we don't, but we can always practice turning towards gratitude. Back to Reverend Master Jiyu. When she was in Japan, as many of us know, things were really difficult. And then finally she said to herself, I must take everything that happens to me as being for my good. And she did that. A constant practice of gratitude in the most awkward and difficult situations. And then, not long after, everything opened up for her and she saw truth. But that practice of gratitude, taking things positively for the good, taking everything as being something that could help her. Not saying everything that happens is because it's there to help me, everything's about me. It's not that, but everything that happens, I can take for the good. I can use it to help me in my training. I can accept it as a gift rather than as something negative that's an obstruction. I can take everything as being something that can help me. And by doing that, she transformed the whole thing. Her own practice of training. I said this before. At the end of each day, at the beginning, sometimes she would say, homage to the Buddha, thank you. Homage to the Dharma, thank you. Homage to the Sangha, thank you. And at the end of the day, she'd do that. Even when she couldn't walk, she was ill, she couldn't get out of bed or anything, but she could do this, raise her hands in gassho, in bowing. Homage to the Buddha, thank you. And I saw her do this over and over again. And then in the latter part of her life, when we would help her to bed because she couldn't walk, we'd quietly leave when thought she was going to sleep, and we'd hear, "Homage to the Buddha, thank you. Homage to the Dharma, thank you. Homage to the Sangha, thank you." In the midst of a really difficult situation of illness, feeling awful, not being able to walk, still she had gratitude. She was thankful for each day. And I've never forgotten that. So I'm grateful to Reverend Master. I'm grateful to all of you for being here. And, you know, when you think about it, how often we're inattentive. We just let the moments go by, time go by. And it's like that. We're human beings, we're not perfect. But to come back to gratitude, to come back to paying attention, to come back to seeing more clearly that everything is a gift and it's not about me. It's not me as the center of the universe. What have I done to deserve all this stuff, you know? I'm just another human being, no more or no less worthy than anybody else. But I can practice gratitude and not take it for granted. And that's Reverend Master's teaching for us today.